It's time for Taking Care of Business on Midlands 103. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Midlands 103.
Hello and a very good evening to you all. It's Tuesday the 15th of November. I'm Ronan Berry. Where else would you be in a Tuesday evening but listening to Taking Care of Business right here on Midlands 103. Coming up between now and 8pm this evening, Mary Hensley of the Junction Business Innovation Centre in Offaly will invite you to explore the benefits of going digital for communities, charity groups, individuals and businesses across the Midlands. There is a launch event taking place on Thursday this week, so Mary will give you all you need to know about that a little bit later in the show. Also, the founder of Dead Centre Brewing in Athlone, Liam Tutty, has just written an open letter to publicans across the Midlands offering a local solution to looming beer price increases. If you want to be part of that and see what Liam has to offer, tune in around 7:30 this evening. And also, I'll have a quick review and a little update on the Midlands 103 Hospitality Awards 2022. They were held last night in the Midlands Park Hotel in Portlaoise. I'll have some interviews with some of the winners on the night and an update on who was the recipient of the new but inaugural Albert Award, which was named and indeed presented in memory of our late Managing Director Albert Fitzgerald, a very deserving local recipient last night. It is a perpetual trophy and will become a national award in time too. So lots coming here on Taking Care of Business. If you would like to join the conversation this evening, please do so. And how do you do that? Says you. Well, you can do it by texting or sending a WhatsApp message to 083 3010 103. That, of course, is powered by the home of Offaly's top-selling car brand, Lambrothers Toyota, on the Arden Road in Tullamore. If you want to get in touch with the studio here or get in touch with me and on the show, you can do that as well by business@midlands103.com by email if you have a suggestion or something you'd like to see discussed on the show. Always happy to hear from you. But to begin this evening's show, I'm delighted to say the studio is full with the most amazing little guests, we could call them all. We have one human and I have two reindeer in studio at the minute. And when I say reindeer, yes, we're getting very close to Christmas now. Well, Christmas for the guy sitting in front of me started many, many months ago, if you know what I mean. And I guess anybody in retail knows what it's like. Christmas usually starts in the first week of January for them in terms of prepping and being ready for the season that's coming. But the reindeer in question, I'm sure if I asked you to picture a little reindeer that's made out of a log, it has smaller logs or little bits of branches for legs, and it has some lights on its little antlers. It has a bauble for a nose. You can probably instantly picture these little reindeer. And they first emerged only a few years ago. They were nearly a school project and all of a sudden became a business idea. Where it has since gone is quite staggering and is a huge testament to the person behind that business. He is 17 years old, almost 18, and he's Anthony Gorman, and he comes from Killy in County Offaly, and he is the owner of Anthony's Wooden Crafts, and these reindeer are seen all across the country right now. Anthony, you're very welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Ronan, how's things?
Good. Anthony, tell us, you know, it first started as a school project. What compelled you to go and make a reindeer?
I tell you, it's been an absolute crazy journey, to be honest. It all started when I was in third year in secondary school in Tullamore College, and I was in my business classroom, and we all had to study different types of business topics, and I picked entrepreneurship, and my teacher at the time, Miss Griffin, she says, why don't you create like a fake business and make a pretend project and you can present it to the class? So I was messing around in the shed and started putting some things together, and just the reindeer just came to life then. It looked kind of like a horse at the start, and then one idea led to the next. I brought it to my dad and he changed up some things, and then my nanny said pawn lights on it, and just it became the reindeer through my family, all the different ideas. And yeah, and then the first year then I brought it into the school and presented it to my class, the reindeer, and my teacher said, oh, this is a brilliant idea, and brought it into the staff room in my school, and all the teachers, they all loved it. They all went mad for it. I couldn't believe it. This silly idea I made in the shed, and came home with 20 orders, which each teacher ordered two each. And then my second year then, I only sold about 50 that my first year. I just wanted to buy a phone for myself. That's all it was, just to make clear for a phone. And on my second year then of my business, I created my Facebook page, Anthony's Wooden Crafts. And it was in right dead in the peak of COVID, in the right middle of it. And everything it was just my mother posted on Facebook at the time just my business and what I'm selling, and it just went nuts. There was a woman in Cork and she created a page called Shop in Ireland at the time, and it was just a page just for businesses to advertise around the country, and it had, I think it was 180,000 people in at the time. It was something crazy, and my ma posted the reindeers up, posted my page just in the description what I was about, and it was the biggest story on that page. It got altogether, it got nearly 100,000 reactions on that post, and that was my biggest year of my business. And after that post, then I got 14,000 people liked my page. Wow. That day, within that day and the next day,
which is lovely, because again it's just showcasing the power of both social media. Yeah. But also that the way people's kind of focus shifted during COVID to really try and buy local. Yeah. That and the fact that you have created an incredible product, like, and there's two sitting here on the desk in front of us now, and they almost have personalities, whatever way you've created the little facial features on them there too. At any point though, at that journey, did you decide, and I know there's much more to come yet in terms of what you've done this year. Yep. Did you ever doubt and kind of go, this is just a fad, it's all going to end and it'll be a thing that happened, I got my phone? Or at what point did it click with you that there's actually a business in this?
Yeah, no, you're dead right. Yeah, you're like, when I started off, I had no idea. I said, I might call my auntie and uncle now, or a few neighbours, and I buy this phone. But when I brought it to the school that day, and the teachers, like, they literally could not believe the product it was. And it says, and ever since then, when I brought it to the staff room, when all them orders came in, and I had my Irish copy right now, Miss Gallagher bought two, Miss Furnace bought three, you know, and I have to bring in them for one day. Then that's when I realised that this product, it's going to be a seller.
Absolutely.
I can build from here, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, to say you can build from that point to where you are now, you quite quickly secured a deal with one of the biggest retailers in the country.
Yeah.
Russia, Dunstores. How did that come about?
That's another crazy story, like, you won't believe it. So that was the second year of my business, and I posted that post on Shop in Ireland, that post blew up, and then RT News came to me first before Dunn's did, and they wanted to do an interview with me, and I had no idea at the time it was for RT News. I thought it was just a small little clip for Nationwide for an ad or something, and at the time I didn't know Philip Bromwell. He's a big RT News interviewer, and he came out, and I didn't realise who he was at the time, and we just done our interview and showed him the workshop, told my story, and within 2 days it was on the 6 and 9 o'clock news on RT, and that was just...
That's amazing.
You've
even almost hit one of the pinnacles as well. It was featured on the Toy Show, was it last year?
Yeah, two reindeers, the Toy Show reached out to me to bring two into the Late Show, and yeah, but the RT News interview was just... When that was up on telly, it was mad.
It's amazing. And it's fascinating. It's when a product grabs the attention like that as well, especially when it's made locally and it's using local materials and stuff like that too. But the Dunstores order, I mean, early this January, you pretty much got that confirmed. Just let the listeners know the size. How many reindeer Dunstores ordered off you this year?
Well, I'll just tell how Dunst got in contact with me.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so I done my RT News interview the second year, and I have a personal account on Instagram. It's nothing to do with my business. And Dunn's DM'd me on Instagram, just messaged me and said, oh, hi Anthony, we'd love to have a chat with you. I said, no, I'm not opening that now. That's a scam. That's a scam profile. I'm not opening that. But I had the verified tag on it, so I was kind of second guessing myself. And after a couple of days, I said, look, I'll open the message. Sure, look, if the phone blows up, it blows up. They said, Dunstores said they'd love to meet with you. And I just rang the number, and it was a manager from Dunn's in the head office. And it's just been meetings on and off from there throughout that second year of my business. And in the third year then, the first 100 reindeers hit Newbridge, and they sold out within one day, the 100 reindeers.
Wow.
Yeah, and we sold, was it 2,000 that year, last year, to Dunn's.
Yeah.
And the most 100, so we dropped 100 off in every store. We'd done 9 or 10 stores, I think, last year. And we dropped off 100, and the most 100 lasted was a day and a half in a store. Yeah. And then this year then was the big year for my business. And Dunn's put in an order for 10,000 reindeers this year.
Wow.
Yeah. 10,000. And to introduce my new product this year to Dunn's is just...
Okay. What amazing. Have you introduced as well?
Yeah. So my new product this year is, it's like a, they come in a packet tree. It's just a reindeer head for your Christmas tree. just to give that homemade effect to your Christmas tree.
And that's exclusive to
that's exclusive to the ones, yeah.
Wow. I think that's fascinating. Number one, that they got in touch with you via direct message on Instagram, and I think you were right to be almost a little bit dubious about it, because that's what we're generally told to do. But it's amazing to see how even the big companies are contacting suppliers too. So 10,000 reindeers, I'm sure that's going to take a little bit of time to put together. When did you start making them, and how did you go about creating 10,000 of these beautiful little animals?
So in January, I was in school and I was saying, look, this year's going to be just mental. Like, my leaving cert this year, I'm turning 18, and I have to make 10,000 reindeers somehow. So I remember sitting in class in January, and I had a free class, and I was doodling in my copy, as I always do. And I started making up these, like, silly ideas on, like, how to make the reindeer quicker in an assembly line. Because I'd normally make the reindeer start to finish.
Yeah.
So I sat down and I said, if I make the head in the summer, and then when I have the heads all done, I can go and assemble the reindeer. And then the last month, before they go into Duns, I can do the last checks, put the nose anchors on, lights, and then put them into Duns. And I just made up these silly ideas in the copy in school. And then in the summer, I got two good friends of mine, Jack and Luke, and we put all the heads together, done all the heads. And then after the summer was finished, then we started assembling the reindeer. I just got loads of help off different lads and all stuff like that.
It's Christmas all year round at your house, effectively.
Yeah, but I said, if I start in summer, I'd be able to finish early. Yeah. Well, not finish early, but to be less pressure as nearer to Christmas, you know. So I had all my hard work done, all my like graft and all getting timber and stuff like that, gathering up all the bits, the lights, the bobbles, all in summer. So all the pressure was off in September and October, where normally I'd be going out like a headless chicken in September and October.
But you're talking like a substantial, you know, even stock of timber alone. You get that all sourced locally too.
Yeah.
But in terms of sourcing the likes of the baubles and the lights and stuff like that, how did you go about doing that?
Yeah, so my dad's a really good friend in Dublin. He sells like safety boots to all like different hardware stores around the country. So he had like a massive contact in China. And before I'd be going to a pound shop paying huge money for lights and baubles, and then he said, no, go to China. Go up and look it up. So cut down my costs. So I went to China and got in touch with this lovely girl. She sorted me all out. She was like over all the lights and all that department. And they came out perfect. Everything was perfect. I had them in the summer. It was right before I assembled the reindeer. And it was just perfect.
After you finished your doodling and you put these kind of lean manufacturing plans in place, roughly, do you know how long it took you to make a reindeer before that and how long you can actually put one together now?
So it's just probably the best year for my business this year, because I actually did have an actual plan on how I was going to get the timber into the shed and come out with a reindeer as quick as possible and as much as I can. So,
Beforehand, would it take you, say, 10 minutes to assemble the reindeer?
So last year, we'd be making reindeers. We'd no plan, really, you know. Like, we'd have, my mad is all the account, she's an accountant, so she'd tell us, oh, we need 100 for Kildare on Monday and 100 for, say, Tullamore on Tuesday. So then we'd be making the orders for that day, the day before. Where now this year, I have my stock all up in the sheds. So if there's 100 to go to Letterkenny tomorrow, I was just going to grab the pallets and go.
How many stores actually are you
there's
supplying?
There's 28 stores this year. Yeah, 28.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So you're not finished making though too, like you're still continuing to sell them at markets, or they're still available for
people. Yeah, so I'm exclusive to Dunn's, and I made my website this year as well. That's anthonyswoodencrafts.com, and that's just been mental as well this year as well. So I've three women at home that's with me for the last 4 years, good friends of my ma, and they packed their reindeers and put a stamp on it, and then my dad, he drives the boxes over to on post in Port Leash, and then they're delivered the next day.
Wow, yeah, that's incredible. It's amazing. It really is every aspect of the building, both the distribution, the assembly, the manufacture, the sourcing as well. And I mean, it's been recognised as well. You've been invited to speak at the Entrepreneurs Academy shortly. I mean, really, that's a huge tribute for somebody of your young years.
Yeah, I can't wait to do that now. I'm really looking forward to that. Really looking forward. It's going to be a huge milestone for me.
Yeah, and can I ask, what comes next, do you think? Are you expecting similar next year? Are you ready to kind of see more growth in the two? Or are you going to look at new product lines?
I just want to keep expanding.
Yeah.
I love the way in January I could make my plan. I could write down exactly how I was going to do it, what I needed, how much it was going to cost for the materials I needed to make the stuff. And yeah, I just love the way I could plan it out. And I was so relaxed in October and September now, because I knew exactly that everything was done. What was going to come next?
Brilliant. It sounds, you make it sound so easy, way too easy, by the way. But I mean, everything is there. You can hear it in your story, the way the business is laid out, the way you plan, the way you they make the product as well. But I think ultimately it really comes down to just a fantastic product. It looks amazing. I know I brought some of the news team out to show them the ones you brought in. They didn't know who you were, but once they saw the reindeer, they went, oh yeah, we've seen those in shops all across the country. So that itself is huge. Anthony, look, it's a fantastic story, and thank you for coming in and sharing that with the listeners of Midlands 103, and I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more from you in future. Thanks, Anthony. That's Anthony Gorman there from Anthony's Wooden Crafts with those very famous reindeers. If you have a look at Instagram there and just check out Midlands 103 or indeed the hashtag Ronan Talks, you'll see a picture of those two beautiful reindeers. And myself and Anthony included even for extra measures too. Still to come on Taking Care of Business, the local brewer who has written to publicans offering a potential solution towards the ever-rising price of beers, and particularly those coming from the larger providers across the country. It has been very topical over the past week or so. And then a little later in the show, we'll have a quick look back at the Midlands 103 Hospitality Awards and bring you some of the audio from some of last night's winners there too. It was a fabulous occasion in the Midlands Park Hotel. But up next, I want to talk about going digital. Did you know that Offaly's first ever digital first day is about to take place later this week on November the 17th at 6 p.m. And basically everybody's invited to drop into the Junction in Access Business Park in Tullamore to learn how technology and upskilling in digital know-how can help improve, you know, every aspect of our lives, talking charities, communities, you know, anything you're involved in too. That, you know, there's no doubt that the need to go digital, no matter what aspect of your life you're speaking about, is there. We all need to kind of embrace it and indeed maybe help bring along people who haven't yet embraced digital technologies. But to try and dig a bit deeper into this, I'm delighted to be joined by Mary Hensey from the Junction and Offaly Innovation Centre here. Very good evening, Mary. This event has taken place, now it's this one is in Offaly, but it's taking place, I think, all across the country as well. What's the main objective of going digital?
Hi, how are you? Yes, that's right. Digital First Day, it's a nationwide initiative partnering with the Connected Hubs Network of Ireland. And the aim is to inform and share with local communities the positive benefits of digitalisation. We want to highlight how communities, small businesses and social enterprises can leverage the benefits of digitalisation. It's part of a network drive recently launched by the Minister for Rural and Community Development, Heather Humphreys, to help attract economic and social development and tackle the rural urban divide through digitalisation. So there's over 50 connected hubs across Ireland hosting free seminars, chats, tutorials and workshops all on the benefits of digital growth. Ours is taking place on Thursday evening the 17th at 6 p.m. in the Junction.
And who are you expecting to see at that? What is your target audience for it?
Well, this is, it's really just an introduction to digitalisation, and it's only about an hour and a half, because, you know, it's only an evening event. So therefore, it's just really to dip your toe into it. And we're aiming at this event at local charities, community groups, you know, sports groups, not-for-profit groups, and just to introduce them to digitalisation and just explain how technology and upskilling in your digital know-how can help them operate more efficiently, be more visible, and in turn then be more successful. We have, it's the event that we're holding is called LinkedIn for Your Locality. And we have Leon Marty, who is a digital technology specialist at Microsoft, presenting on the night.
You mentioned in that piece there that some of this is about trying to tackle the rural-urban divide through digitalisation. And, you know, over the past number of years, the absolute, you know, the strategic importance of the likes of the remote hubs and the innovation centres like the Junction and others across Laois, Offaly and Westmeath has really come to the fore too. So you get a sense from this that, you know, that message is now trying to spread out, not just from business, but right into the wider community. So how can we tackle, and I mean, suppose, what is the urban-rural divide when it comes to digitalisation?
I think it's more that I think sometimes even the word digitalisation, it scares people. And we have all of these big companies in the, you know, in the urban areas rather than down in the local rural communities. And I think days like Digital First is really to try and conquer those fears and to introduce them, you know, digitalization to everybody. After all, we are in a, as we would say, a digital revolution. And we must ensure that whether we're a commercial business, a community group or a local charity, that we keep up to date with these new developments and use them to benefit and maximise the potential of the groups we represent, which in turn supports the sustainability of our villages and towns. And then the whole remote working as well, and is bringing people back into our local communities. And again, kind of getting away from that urban-rural divide. And that's why they're connected hubs, which is operated by the National Hub Network of Ireland, again, a government initiative. That's why they have partnered with Digital First to bring these events around the country.
I have to say, I do agree with you when you know, the very word digital or digitalisation can scare a lot of people, can scare businesses, never mind your ordinary citizen. And if you think of something as basic as switching your utility provider and people are told, oh yeah, just go online and switch or make it, like, for most people that is a whole new language. Like, whilst it might be relatively easy to do when you know how, if you don't know how to access it or get it in the first place, and so much, pretty much every aspect of our lives is becoming digital now. But those hubs that you refer to, of course, you're involved with the Offaly Innovation and Design Centre. It was first established in 2014. One facility is here in Access Business Park in Tullamore. I'm sure your kind of value proposition has probably expanded since COVID hit as well, with the rise in remote working. And dare I say, hope Elon Musk isn't listening, but maybe a sense of reality as to how work can be done.
Absolutely. When we opened in 2014, Offaly Innovation and Design Centre, we just opened the hub here in the Junction and 19H Access Business Park. And that was really an innovation hub, and it was aimed at entrepreneurs and new starts. But over the years, the business model has changed, and especially during COVID, where we saw there was a demand for desks by employees who were no longer working in their head office. And because of that, we have evolved. We have a lovely mix, actually, in our hubs, because we have self-employed people, as I said, entrepreneurs, sitting alongside people who would normally commute. So it's a nice mix there. We're hoping to expand again later this year or early next year here in Access Business Park, where we'll convert an existing warehouse into more office space and hot desks. We have one in Ehive, called Ehive, over in Edenderry as well, and we have another called Stream in Birr. But there is a big demand, and there's more. I see more of a demand for small offices even than hot desks, because again, we're constantly in contact with people throughout the day, so they need their privacy then when they're on Zoom calls and connecting with their employee and their employers.
It's offering privacy though, but yet a kind of a connectedness with other people as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, some people don't have the option to work from home. They don't have the space, they have poor broadband, there are children there. And others just want to keep their work and personal life separate. And also it can be quite lonely working from home. So these hubs offer the perfect solution, because they're offering a professional office environment located close to your home that an employee can use full time or part time. And the environment in there encourages innovation and networking. And again, they help support the local community and rural generation by keeping workers in the area. And they in turn support other local businesses. And also then, because they're not wasting all this time commuting up and down to wherever, Dublin, Galway, they have this extra time in their hands that they can either one, spend with their families, or they can get involved in their local community in these different groups like sports groups or charities.
Yeah, which in turn has that knock-on benefit for the smaller businesses, the restaurants, the cafes too. But even amongst the hubs too, like there's an expansion of the offering there too. And even most recently, the announcement of the kind of partnerships to create these gateways with the Department of Lifelong Learning in Tooss, and must be very, again, significant to be able to see that you can use the facilities for greater good too.
That's correct. We partnered with Tooss there just a few weeks ago, and now all our hubs, our three hubs in Birr, Edenderry and here in Tullamore, are Tooss learning gates. So that is to make higher education more accessible by offering workspaces locally for students, researchers and academic staff without them having to make the journey over to Athlone. So students can meet in our hubs and they can collaborate with their colleagues or their peers. And it just makes higher education just more accessible to everybody. We have, of course, we have our high-speed broadband, but we also have EduRoam, or EDU Roam, some people call it. And that is, you know, it's short for education roaming. And it's a high, it's a Wi-Fi service that enables students and lecturers to securely access the internet at their third level college or university from one of our hubs.
Which is absolutely crucial for continuity and quality of delivery.
And again, it's keeping, you're talking about the rural-urban divide, it's again, that's keeping people back in their local area.
It's a fantastic service too. Mary, it's phenomenal, and I think it's a credit to everybody as well. I suppose to the original visionaries who created those hubs way before we knew what a certain global pandemic or what cause it was, and that message was being put out there by even organisations like Grow Remote. What's happened the last couple of years is a credit to people, and I think people are beginning to see sense. I say, hope Elon Musk isn't listening. He seems to be paddling his own canoe.
Absolutely.
There as well. But Mary Hensey, Business Development Manager with the Junction in Access Business Park, thank you so much
for
that this evening. So again, the reminder that Digital First Day is taking place in the Junction in Access Business Park next Thursday, the 17th of November at 6 p.m. and you're all invited to drop in and again see what digitalisation can do for you in whatever kind of setting it might work for you, be it the community, charities, be it in a small business, whatever aspect of your life it might benefit to. Feel free to drop in, meet some of the team there and maybe meet some like-minded individuals. Liam Tutty is the founder of Dead Centre Brewing in Athlone. It is a fantastic facility there on the banks of the Shannon, and today he has written to the publicans of the Midlands in what is an open letter, and he expresses his concerns and I suppose his empathises with their plight as well, particularly as last week there was an announcement that some of the larger alcohol providers and beer providers were going to put substantial price increases in to, you know, if it was in front of publicans, a price increase that would unfortunately have to be passed on to the very punters and customers as well. So Liam's letter alludes to those potential challenges that may be there. In his letter, he states that we're proud to be part of the fabric of the Midlands of Ireland, brewing right on the banks of the Shannon. We brew beer in small batches and pour our hearts and souls into what we do. We employ a local staff, buy local ingredients and support other small businesses wherever possible. So why did Liam go and pen this letter to you know, all these publicans too? Well, beyond the obvious, so I decided to catch up with Liam just before we came on air earlier, and I began by asking him, you know, what was it that really compelled him to put or to pen this open letter to the publicans?
It's kind of twofold. We're obviously a brewery. We're very proud of what we make, and the more people I think that we can get the beer into the hands of, the better. But on the other side of it, we also have a 7-day publicans license and we operate a pub. So we understand what it is that publicans are going through, you know, and kind of, you know, one of the lines I use is, you know, publicans just like us, they're small businesses. All they're trying to do is keep a roof over their head and food on their plates, and that's getting more and more difficult. So if there's a way that we can help, I think now is a great time to do it.
There seems to be a lot of shock and even outrage at the projected or the proposed price rises. And, you know, in a time when so many things have risen in price, this one seems to have really struck a chord with the general public too. So from your own perspective then, having developed a Dead Centre Brewing there too, you've got a huge following there. Are people's palates changing? Are people becoming more open to trying out new beers and indeed looking local when it comes to sourcing their beers?
I think so. I think the pandemic was actually was a kind of a game changer on that front. I don't think we've ever had an instance in the country before where there was so much emphasis placed on supporting local businesses. Because, you know, like lots of other small businesses around the Midlands, we are local, we are small, we rely on, you know, we rely on local trade. And without that, it makes life very difficult. You know, you mentioned about some of the bigger breweries who are kind of, you know, really fairly adamantly chasing these price increases. And, you know, those guys, we don't have the funds that those guys have. What we can say is that, you know, every cent that you spend on something from a small business like us, it stays in the community. It supports local jobs. We buy our ingredients locally. And, you know, it really is a small circular economy that we operate right in the centre of Ireland. And look, there are bigger breweries that are going to charge more money. And I'm sure there are plenty of publicans that will pay it because they do have the bigger marketing budgets. And you know, some people are just used to ordering that specific brand of beer. But, you know, every cent that's generated by that company leaves the country. It's just money flowing out of Ireland. When I really don't think there's a need when you have, you know, a local supplier who can, you know, if you look at things like Untappd or Rate Beer, which are kind of the beer scoring systems globally, and produce a far better quality product at a far more reasonable price that delivers a higher margin for the publican. So it's one of those things I understand people are slow to get on board with. As I said, I think the pandemic did wonders for that. But it's a local solution to what is probably more than a local problem, but it's certainly a good starting point.
Yeah, and the craft brewing industry around the Midlands in particular is growing and going from strength to strength. And there's a number of companies like yourselves who are exporting their beer out across Europe. I mean, that really showcases or is testament to the quality of what they're producing. But in spite of rising, you know, energy prices and the cost of just doing business in general, you've been using the period to expand your own operations over there.
Yeah, we have. I suppose one of the things that we really... Dead Centre was started as let's brew for the pub in the pub. And that was really our kind of goal. And the brewery that we have in Athlone, it does exactly what we needed to do. It was, as we always said, small but perfectly formed. The idea there was to produce kegs for the bar in Athlone. But realistically, you know, the brewery is just too small to produce the volume that we require. For now, both, you know, we've got a fairly good distribution trade now as well around the country, a small bit of export as well, thanks to the local enterprise office. And we just can't produce the volumes that we need in the pub. So that's why we're just putting the finishing touches. I'm actually out here at the moment in the new brewery, which is a 2,000 litre brewery in Bloery. And that's why I'm confident, you know, that we can say to other publicans, we can produce the volumes that you need at a price that is right and at a margin that, you know, will help you survive. And that's kind of where the point lies, you know.
And you've developed that distribution network too, particularly through things like beercloud.ie. So you're ideally positioned, as you said, to work with publicans if they're interested in. In terms of a process then of moving over even some taps to craft beer, what is that process like and how do you engage with a publican who may be unsure or have some questions about how to go about that and I suppose sell these local beers to their very punters?
Yeah, it's relatively simple. I know, obviously, a lot of people have been doing the same things for a long time and there's a rhythm to it. You know, and I'm not saying that it's a complacency. It's more just this is how the business has always operated. And it is difficult to kind of change a habit once it's been formed. But it's relatively straightforward. You know, a technician arrives from Dead Centre. They install a tap, a line, a cooler. They tap the keg. You know, it can be a relatively quick process. And then obviously we support any way that we can. I'm not trying to say that we can give you the same support that some of these bigger brewers can. That's just unreasonable for us. But we can certainly provide kegs at a price that I think a lot of publicans, I think, maybe look at craft beer and go, that stuff is awful expensive. I think they'd be very surprised to see prices now compared to some of the bigger breweries. And then obviously things like beer mats, glassware, POS, that's all provided to try and drive volume in the premises.
Yeah, things have changed a lot from the days of the good old-fashioned tulip glass that you could see the bar staff stacking about 25 of them in rows and carrying them across dance floors back in the in the good old days. You say, like, it goes beyond just the taps and the beer. It is actually the glasses and everything else there too. But what are your most popular beers at the minute? And indeed, you're someone who usually is experimenting with something alternative or something different as well. What's happening with you in the brewery at present?
Yeah, well, one of the most popular beers we'd have would be our lager. It's just a 4% Pilsner lager. It's not trying to be anything weird or wild or wonderful. We always describe it as beer. It's beer that tastes like beer. It just tastes like a lager. It's it's traditionally fermented, so it's a long fermentation. And it's provided in 50-litre kegs. So, again, it's a very little, you know, there's very little change over there from the existing format. And then the other beer that is very popular for us on tap, particularly around Athlone, is our pale ale. So that's a pale ale called Seeking Sunshine. That's a little bit more of a departure. So that kind of carries quite a lot of fruity notes. We say citrus, some orange notes in there as well. But it's a really good stepping stone onto other beers. So it's an extremely popular beer as well.
That is Liam Tutty, the founder of Dead Centre Brewing at Lone. As I mentioned, Liam has written to the publicans across the Midlands, just saying that, look, like them, they're a small business. They are facing the challenges, too, of rising energy costs, of raw material costs, etc. But together, maybe there is a solution and a way of almost circumventing those price rises that are being proposed on some of the more famous beers. So the question is, would you change a habit there? Would you switch to something that's brewed locally? Well, according to Liam there, it should be no problem too. And there's loads of alternatives out there. So maybe the time is coming to try that and keep that support in the local economy. Let me know what you think. 083 3010 103. I know myself, I have sampled some of Dead Centre's beers too. And I have to say, they're absolutely of the highest quality. Indeed, as is the facility that Liam runs there on the banks of the Shannon. Well done to Liam. And here's to their continued success and development. Businesses from the hospitality sector across the Midlands gathered last night in the Midlands Park Hotel in Portlaoise to celebrate after what has been a tough couple of years. They were there for the Midlands 103 Hospitality Awards, run in conjunction with Brian Cunningham Event Management. Over 300 people attended the gala dinner there, and it was a night of celebrations and indeed of just a sense of reconnecting and just, you know, a achievement of getting that far, of having navigated the last couple of years. There were over 51 awards handed out on the night, some of whom went to the likes of Liam Gillerin for Gillerin's and Mullingar Overall Pub of the Year. Don McDermott from the Bridge House Hotel in Tullamore picked up the Wedding Coordinator of the Year award, and Molly Moose picked up the Overall Tourist Attraction of the Year award. Midlands 103's Chloe Farrell caught up with some of these winners and a few more last night just to gauge their sense on how it felt to have been crowned winners on the night.
I'm blown away. When you see the award coming towards the end, you're kind of saying to yourself, sure, look, but maybe not this year. And then all of a sudden you're called out, and that's down to judges and the listeners and your customers. I just don't know what to say. For once in my life, I can say I'm actually speechless. You know, because normally I'm not short of words, but this time I am.
And how long are you in business?
Well, it's a long story and a short story. Born and reared in the pub, and Mary and I bought back the place where now that my father started originally back many, many years ago. He started off in Mullingar in 1960, and he bought where we are now in 1972. And then Mary and I bought it back there about 6 years ago, even though I ran it from my father, love of Mary, for years and years and years. And at the time that it was sold, it was very simple. It's just my dad just wanted to retire, and rightly so too, because he had spent maybe nearly 55, 60 years behind the bar counter. So he says, I'm out of here, you know. And I was delighted for him and delighted for all of us. And but the day that we left that place was probably one of the most emotional days of my life, because I could not wait to get back in there again, you know.
Tarek Brown, owner, Brown's on the Green restaurant, Terrell's Pass, and Brown's the venue in Tullamore. They mean everything to us, Chloe. So we opened Terrell's Pass 6 years ago, 2016, October 2016. We opened the bistro a year ago, just in, I suppose, at the end of COVID. Everybody said we were mad. And when they finally knew we were mad, we opened Brown's the venue on the 14th of July this year. And actually, it's ironic. We're open 4 months today in the venue, and they've won their first award. So it's, proud.
And with COVID, some businesses were closing. How were you inspired to open something else?
I suppose my background is farming. We're originally from Watford, and we're farmers. We kill all our own cattle and sheep for the restaurant. So I suppose, to use the old adage, when the sheep are going that way, they generally go the other way. So we just saw an opportunity in Tullamore, and thankfully we've got huge support there from the people of Tullamore town since we came to Tullamore in both restaurants, and we're so grateful. But yeah, I suppose it was, some people would say, mad, but we just saw two buildings we liked and we just went for it.
Hi everyone, my name is Don McDermott and I work in the Bridge House Hotel in Tullamore, and I am the wedding coordinator here in Tullamore as well. I've been working in the hotel for the last 10 years, Over different departments, but in the last 5 years I've been the wedding coordinator. So yeah, I'm delighted to get the award tonight. It's great.
And what's involved in your job?
So day to day we're dealing with couples every day. We have wedding show rounds every weekend. We have weddings every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. During COVID I was always working with wedding couples and postponing and moving their weddings. And in the last probably 6 to 8 months we've actually been doing an awful lot of weddings that have been supposed, that were supposed to happen 2 years ago. So we're kind of at the end of our couples now that were supposed to get married during COVID, but definitely over the last 2 years it's been a whirlwind.
My name is Linda and I'm from Mullymoose Pet Farm in Mullingar. Oh, it's amazing. Recognition for all the hard work me and my husband and children do. We're open over 8 years. We have a pet farm just outside Mullingar, beside Belvedere House. We have animals. We have llamas, alpacas, geese, sheep, cows, goats, pigs, farm animals. We have crazy golf. We have a playground. We have snakes and ladders. We have a sandbox. We have a cafe, serving pizzas, sandwiches.
What made you start a business like this?
Because we're farming. And farming wasn't viable, so we decided we'd branch out and do something else. So we decided we'd create a business. And
that is Linda Sorin there from Mullymoose is talking at the end. And again, that idea of branching out and just realising that maybe the base business model wasn't going to work or suffice and adding a new thing. And what it must be achievement for them then to add the overall tourist attraction of the year then to the many awards they've won already. On the night one, very special award was given out. The first ever recipient of the Albert Award in memory of our late Managing Director Albert Fitzgerald was given to Donal O'Gorman of O'Gorman's De Bog Road and O'Gorman's Kilminchy. He also spoke to Chloe Farrell about what it felt like to receive this award.
Albert Fitzgerald is probably one of the nicest guys I ever met in my life. When you were down and out and you were on your knees and you needed to get back up, he found a way to get you back up on your knees, off your knees. When I started in business 20 years ago, I hadn't the budget to go at radio, but Albert helped me through it for the first few months and the first year or two, and after that we built up a great friendship and great working relationship. And without Midlands Radio 3, I don't think I'd be as successful as I am today.
That is Donal O'Gorman, the first recipient of the Albert Award, created in memory of Albert Fitzgerald. And as you can hear in the background there, the Lolls band were beginning to play, and it just gives a sense of the carnival atmosphere that was there last night. It was an absolute celebration of a sector that really, in all fairness, deserved to celebrate and deserves a good night out. Well done to all the winners. You can see the full list on midlands103.com. And that's it until next year when the awards will be back and back in force again. Thank you for listening this evening. It's been a pleasure as always. Joe Cooney will be here after the news at 8 o'clock with Country Roads, bringing you the best of Irish and American country music. Until next week, have a great weekend. Make sure to start the Christmas shopping soon enough. Keep it local. I'll talk to you all next week.
Taking Care of Business returns next Tuesday at 7 p.m. with the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.